Living in the Days of Deception. I've read it. It is a great book, very, very appropriate for where we are today. And I don't want to take any more of his time. Let's welcome Pastor Jack from Chino Hills.
Wow. So let's see. Is this working? It's working, yeah? All right. Well, first of all, in light of his exhortation to stay home tomorrow, I hope somebody's here for the services tomorrow. But, man, I don't know where to begin. I do want to just ask, how many Californians are here? Oh, wow. How many Chino Hillians are here? Did you say goodbye to me before you left? Did you? Yeah? No, I'm just kidding. Listen, I was driving around today while Lisa and Leslie were teaching. I went driving around and I got lost somewhere very far away, which was wonderful. I haven't done that in years. It was great. And man, I tell you, if that earthquake comes to California and knocks it off into the ocean like people are saying, man, Tennessee, I gotcha. Love it. Love it. And I'm talking about this part of Tennessee. I was in Nashville about a month ago. All right, okay. There could be somebody from Nashville here right now. I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles tonight to turn to the book of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 tonight, and while you're turning there, I am extremely distracted, and I think you might know the reason why. We knew something was coming. I announced to the church last Sunday that we had gotten intel from friends. Now, people always want to ask, where do you guys get this stuff from? Well, first of all, I'm about 150 years old. So when you live a long time, you get great connections. But God has blessed us with some great military connections, political connections, both in the United States and in Israel. But I had announced to the body that we had gotten word that the U.S. was making plans. The U.S. was making plans for an imminent Iranian attack upon Israel. Israel's been in a state of readiness ever since then. You probably know that. I just was on the phone. In fact, we were having dinner at Pastor Mark's house and got a phone call from Jerusalem, our dear friend Daniel Cohen there. If you don't follow Daniel Cohen, you need to follow Daniel Cohen. He loves the Lord Jesus. He's the Middle East chief bureau correspondent for Newsmax. And he was saying, everyone's ordered down into their bomb shelters. We're there now. And it started. So while you were probably driving here, Iran launched an initial wave of some 55 now. Was thought to be 40. Was thought to be 100. Last time we checked, it was at 55 drones. Now, please, you all know that drones, you think about drones, you think somebody flying a drone around your neighborhood. That's not the kind of drones we're talking about. These are drones that are can inflict wicked and horrific damage. And so the rhetoric that the United States is not behind Israel right now, that may be true among some of those that are in the administration, but I can tell you that, and we need to pray for the United States. The United States is highly involved in the area, and in fact, several hours ago, when Israel detected that Iran was about ready to launch these rockets and these cruise-type drones with more to come, Israel believes, you got to remember, everybody, if you know any Jews in Israel, Israel believes that they're fighting for their lives right now. They don't know what you know about them. See, you're a believer. You know the Bible. You know that the God of Israel doesn't slumber nor sleep. And God's got an eternal covenant with Israel. But they don't believe that. I've been there 22 times. Trust me, they don't believe it. They don't believe God. They always want to scold God. Where was he in the Holocaust? Well, we're just telling you, you should read Deuteronomy. That will tell you where he was. Deuteronomy tells you. So a lot of Jews claim not to believe in God. So they believe that they're fighting right now for their existence. They don't know their future like you and I know. But that's a pretty scary situation because they believe, do we need to press the button now? And they've got the button. And so this is a very wild moment. So you all need to be reading. I just said y'all. There you go. That's it. All of you need to read Ezekiel chapter 38. Go home tonight, read Ezekiel chapter 38, because it could be actually in the opening moments of Ezekiel 38. And then I need to get into the message. Why is this important? Because all great Bible eschatologists, those who were Bible scholars that studied the prophetic content of the Bible, which is 27 to 31%, some say 27 to 33% of the Bible is prophetic in nature. Now, I don't know where you've come from. You might say, well, our church I go to never talks about Bible prophecy. That means they talk 75% of the Bible. Can you imagine going to a church? Come to our church. We'll only talk about 75% of the Bible. Over 25% of the Bible is about the future. And you need to know that because Jesus tells us that that brings us hope and peace and calm. In this room, I believe that what's happening is you are going to be missionaries to your community, in your neighborhood, because when stuff begins to blow up in the Middle East and the United States is yet again entangled in another war, your neighbors are going to be nervous. This time it's different, though, everybody. This time it's different. Our nation is not the nation it once was. And I pray our nation, at least, how about this? I pray the church gets back to Jesus. I don't know about our country, but the church in America needs to get back to Jesus. And that needs to happen really soon. Time's running out. Revelation chapter 3. You want to stand for the reading of the word? I know you sat down, you just got comfortable, but this is the way we do it at home, and I feel right at home. You guys have been amazing, and we just love it here. Revelation chapter 3. Let's start at verse 7. And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door that and no man can shut. For you have a little strength. I just love that statement. God's not asking for a lot from you. You've got a little strength and he even gives that to us. And you've kept my word and you've not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Listen, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out and go in, and I will write on him my name, the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Almost done. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Father, we pray now for the continued moving of your Holy Spirit. We could have just been worshiping all night. Probably amazing. But Lord, now we're worshiping you in the word. So Father, teach us, we pray. Be our teacher tonight. We ask it now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Book of Revelation, if you don't know, let me reintroduce you. To the fact that the book of Revelation is at the end of your Bible for a really big reason. It's quite amazing. But when the curators, so to speak, the custodians of the God-given, God-breathed word of God, the Bible, there's a reason why they put it at the end of your Bible. You have a Bible, 66 books, 40 different authors. And what's remarkable about these guys is that some of them, of course, never met one another. Some of them didn't live on the same continent and listen, they spanned a time of nearly 1,800 years, 1,700 years. And yet the consistency of the message about who the star is of their message and their ministry is none other than Jesus Christ. And with each prophet, there's a dialing down of a particular part of the mission of the Messiah. And it's from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is this integral communication system that if you only had one, like in China, listen, and parts of Iran, where you can't have a Bible. In Saudi Arabia, you can't own a Bible. But what they do is they smuggle chapters of the Bible and books of the Bible from one another at various times going through markets. Man, we've got Bibles every which way. They plan and they plot on how to exchange the Word of God. Here's what's so cool about that. You can get one book of the Bible and you can maybe get three chapters of any particular book and you can figure out that Jesus is the Messiah. Somehow God will communicate that to you. His amazing word. And so I find that awesome. I think you guys know if you watch us online, we've been super blessed over the years. One of our good friends, in fact, he wrote the foreword to the book, Secretary Mike Pompeo. Mike Pompeo said that when COVID was just starting, the CIA, they were monitoring, and they always monitor what you're downloading. They look at that. They see the volume of it. They know that. And so they saw this huge data dump that they've never seen before. And the CIA monitors this all around the world. Huge data dump, like a column of information falling into one country. And so, of course, the CIA, he was the director of the CIA. They went and looked at, what are they looking at? So they get right in there with their machines, whatever they do. And they look at what's going on. And do you know what was happening during COVID? From the start all the way through, it was the largest download of Bibles online and Bible commentaries online to the Iranian people. The Iranian people were eating up the Bible. Isn't that awesome? Now, don't confuse the Iranians at war tonight with Israel with the Iranian people. There's a big difference. But in that region of the world, if you push in your mind a little bit further to the area of what is Turkey today, Asia Minor is where the seven letters of the seven churches were written. And they're very, very intentional as to why there's seven letters to seven churches and why they even form almost as it were a circle or a loop. And every one of them have a strategic position regarding what was happening in their world at the time. And what has happened throughout church history as a time, it almost give you goosebumps if you study it. When you look at the era of church history for the last 2,000 years, you can see throughout the centuries how one of the seven churches fits into a particular time zone. Now, granted, this also could speak of any one of our hearts at any time. You might have a lukewarm heart tonight. You might be like the church at Philadelphia where you're hot for Jesus. You might be somebody like Thyatira, where you kind of got your cross, you kind of got it mixed up. The wires are goofy. You're not exactly sure yet. You know about Jesus, but you're just not sure. All these things are portrayed in the book of Revelation powerfully. But tonight, because we only have this night together, I'm going to ask you to consider a few things, because at the end of your life, whenever that time may be, I hope it comes for all of us any moment now, with a big, big trumpet blast, that when that moment happens, you've gone to great lengths to make sure that you have brought yourself to the place of being a Philadelphian. And to the church and to the angel at Philadelphia. Philadelphia obviously means brotherly love, and I'm not talking about the one in America. This is the Philadelphia in Asia Minor, Turkey today, and Jesus loved that church. He loved it. And so we're going to look at a few reasons why, because we want to learn from the church that he loved as to how we can position ourselves as believers in a trying time like we're at today. Friends, listen, we've never seen days like this before, and we're sailing into waters that I am so glad that Jesus is at the helm. This is an election season. And in California, for those of you who know us, we have fought for 30 years. And we've made a lot of incredible victories, don't get me wrong. But evil is so loose and evil is so wild that now it used to hide, you know, when you turn the light off. Now it flaunts itself in broad daylight. And now it's even running in so many areas of power. What am I saying? I'm saying that the answer is not going to come from the White House or the State House. The answer has to come from God's house. And we're going to look at the answer tonight. I'm going to ask you to consider this message with this title, The Art of Faithfulness. The art. You say, why would you say art? The art of faithfulness, meaning this. If you've ever read Sun Tzu, and I encourage everybody to read Sun Tzu, the great Chinese strategist, the great Chinese warrior. Sun Tzu spoke so many incredible, powerful words about warfare, how to prosecute a war, how to prepare for a war, making sure that when in success, you don't get out over your skis and get beyond your supply chain to keep the war effort going. It's Sun Tzu that said things like this that became part of our national and international intelligence. When he said, regarding all of your enemies, make them think that when you're far away, make them think you're near. When you're near, make them think you're far away. When you're losing, make them think you're winning. And when you're winning, make them think you're losing. And the number one thing Sun Tzu said is that before you ever go to battle, make sure that you've already won. Are you hearing this? As Christians, we are literally living a Christian life that has already been determined by Jesus Christ himself. We are not fighting to win anything. We are to stand and to contend for righteousness because we've got a little strength. We've got his word. We've not denied his name. And we are going to be lights in shining armor because that's what he told us to do. That's what he told us to be. And listen, there's no room for cowardice in that world. How can we cower back when Jesus is the captain of the Lord's host? You are going to see, I'm going to see a great time of challenging for the church. Look, first of all, it was COVID. The first event globally in real time affected every church around the world at the same time. First time in history. All of the dynamics of COVID resulting fear, fear, fear. Wasn't it interesting, everybody? The Bible tells us perfect love casts out fear. The Bible tells us fear is a sin. And what happened? You think Satan was running loose during COVID? I can tell you for sure. Would you see him? Not exactly. I saw people walking around by the millions, masked up, terrified. Look, if you have to mask up because you're sick, I get it. If you're going through chemo, mask up. But people today are still terrified. They've just gone from one terror event to the next. And now here's the big deal. COVID tested churches. Think about it. COVID tested churches. Listen, I hope nobody's watching from home right now, but in our region of the world, big famous churches, they shut down and they said, we don't know when we're going to open. And when they opened up woke. The first sermon, no joke, the first sermon, I'm not going to mention their names, their household Christian names. They opened up their church and their first service after being shut down for months and months and months was, we're sorry for being white. Wait, that's it? You got people looking for hope and you're going to talk about racism? What's going on here? People, listen, if we get away from the Bible, we'll lose our way. If we dial down on the Bible, everything else gets healed up. And so people went searching. Here's the amazing thing. You know why this church is healthy? Because people who are at other churches, just like our church, people who are at other churches who weren't getting the word of God, when their churches shut down, they went searching for churches that were open. And the churches that were open happened to be churches that believed in the word of God. And so now, there may be fewer churches now, but they're stronger. And I got to tell you, I know California is a real bad, horrible, wicked place. We left there and it was 80 degrees. How horrible is that? With snow in the mountains, mind you. But seriously, if you want to see a place where there's no gray zone anymore, you're either a follower of Christ in California or you're not. And I'd like you to look at verses 7 to 9 here right now. And to the angel, the messenger, the angelos of the church at Philadelphia, right? These things who says that he's holy, God is holy, that he's true, Jesus is the truth. Who has the key of David? This is a very significant statement because Jesus is speaking. Notice the red letters in your Bible. He's speaking to a Gentile church and he tells them that I, Jesus, have the key of David. What does this mean? I have the key of David, meaning what was David's great passion? One thing have I desired that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life. Jesus says, I have the keys to the house of David. Number one, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but most specifically, everybody, get your notes ready because you're going to have to tell your woke friends about this. Jesus, according to the Bible, is currently seated right now beside his Father in heaven. The Jesus of the Bible has to be seated upon the throne of David. Did you know that? In fact, if our Jesus that you and I worship doesn't sit on the throne of David, guess what? We don't have the right Jesus. He has to sit on the throne of David. Does anybody know where the throne of David is? Jerusalem. What country is Jerusalem in? Isn't it funny? Since May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation a second time. No nation on earth has ever come back to be a nation a second time. Isn't it interesting that the big battle issue right now is over who controls Jerusalem, and we want the Jews to be eradicated and pushed in the Mediterranean Sea? That's the Islamic doctrine. Push them into the sea. Isn't it interesting, everybody? Wait, why now? I'm just asking you, think for a moment. Why now? Because when Christ returns in the second coming to establish his kingdom, there has to be an Israel, there has to be a Jerusalem, and you've got to have some Jews. He's the king of the Jews. So you might be here today right now or this evening, or you might be watching and you're thinking, oh, well, you know, it's just news. It's just news. This is different. Because when Christ returns, there would have to be an Israel. And there is one now. Couldn't have said that in 1947, but you can now. That's important. And so as we continue to look at this, know that Jesus is announcing he's got all authority. He says, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. The authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ governs his church. Pastor Mark and I, you know what? People call us pastors, but we know down deep inside, we're sheepdogs. Let's be honest, come on. There's one pastor. Right, there's one pastor, and his name is Jesus. He knows exactly how to handle the sheep. We just go around and bark a few times. That's the best we can do. But Jesus says, I open and I close. It's a sovereign move of Jesus Christ himself. I shut things that will never be opened, and I open things that will never be shut. I gave this to our governor during the COVID era. I said, with all due respect, Mr. Governor, we have to obey the word of God. Gave him a 15-minute video, and we opened respectfully. You know, we had our church open, and I got a letter every 2 weeks. I got a letter from the state of California. It has come to us that you're outside the guidelines of the state of California issued by the Department of Health, and we order you to close down. And so listen to this. I got the first one, and I called the mayor. I said, I just want you to know I got this. And she said, send it to me. And I said, okay, I'll make you a copy. And then the county board of supervisors, hey, did you get a letter from the governor? Mayor said you did. I did. Send it to us. Send it to the county board of supervisors. The mayor and the county board of supervisors came back to me and said, whenever they send that letter to you, just mail it to us. Just keep mailing it to us. You want to know why? Listen, God opened a door that a man tried to shut. But God brings in people of even the political realm who are in power, who love the Lord, or just love freedom, and say, no, 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 keep it open. Well, the only reason why they were able to say keep it open is because God moves among us. God is the one who controls this church. We don't have the authority or the right to dictate what the church is to do. It's his. He bought it with his blood. That's why he's got the keys. That's why he's the way, the truth, and the life. That's why he's sending a letter to the church in Philadelphia. And the beautiful thing about following God, do you know for sure, listen friends, do you know for sure that you're following the Lord's will as revealed in the Bible in whatever you're doing? So for example, oh, Pastor Jack, I met a guy. He's so cute. Look, at our age, cute doesn't do it. That's why you need grandfathers in your life and stuff like that. We need to say, listen, he's cute now to you. Listen, 20 years. Here's the deal. What kind of a guy is he? Is he a believer? Let's see his Bible. Let's look. Bring it here. I want to see how worn out it is. By the way, listen, fathers of girls, some guy wants to date your daughter, have him show you your Bible first. If he just bought it and the price tag's still on it, I don't think she should go out with him. Shut the door. But when God opens a door, God opens the door. Nobody can shut it. And you need, listen, why would Jesus communicate this to us? I'm going to be honest with you. Why? You guys were so nice in the foyer to say to me, thank you for being courageous. I'm going to tell you publicly right now, I'm not courageous. Thank you. You're very generous, but that's not true. I was white-knuckled, bare-fisted, hanging on to the Bible, trusting God to get us through this. I didn't know at any moment if the California National Guard or the CHP, that they were going to shut us down. I just knew this. There was no option to disobey. Couldn't disobey. So when God speaks to you, number one, know it's the word regarding this person's life, that this is the right woman or the right man or the right job or the right place. I mean, look, obviously, those of you from Chino Hills, you prayed. God said Tennessee. Now, I didn't understand until now. I get it. I had to come here to see with my own eyes. But seriously, a job, whatever. Seek God. He'll speak through his word. A lot of people today will say, I've never heard God speak. You just made a public admission that you don't read the Bible. Honestly. Because when you pick up the Bible, I got to tell you, this thing looks like it's in print. I mean, look at it. It looks so naive. It's sitting right here. Look, I'll let it hang over like that a little bit. Look at it. You would never know that this thing's alive. Did you know that you could burn every Bible on earth and it doesn't change the truth of this book, one iota? It's the eternal word of God. In fact, if all Bibles were burned, he'll just write it on your heart. He'll put it in the cloud. He'll do whatever he wants. This book, listen, this truth is forever. And Jesus is speaking. The last book of the Bible is so dear to us because it is about the book of the end. But the end for us as believers is the beginning. How do we get to the beginning? Ah, we got to get to the end first. And then for us, woo! All the great stuff. We go to heaven, man. When you remember that, somebody told me tonight that they're supposedly dying of cancer, but they keep living on. That's awesome. But here's the deal. We love life because God put it in us to love. That's normal. But I'm convinced that we do not officially get glimpses of heaven. I'm sorry, I just don't believe people, I saw heaven. I don't think so. Paul the Apostle said he saw it and God would not allow him to speak about it. Paul the Apostle was not allowed to speak about heaven. So I don't know what you saw. I'm going to go with the Bible. But he did say this, there's no words or language on earth that could describe the beauty I saw. And that's where I'm going if the trumpet blows or if my gasket blows. Why? Because Jesus promised. He keeps his promises. But listen, the art of faithfulness is that it's the thinking, like Sun Tzu about war and tactics. As believers, the art of faithfulness is realizing he's faithful. My discipline, the art, is to completely rely upon his faithfulness to do. That should take the weight off. You should stop sweating as a believer because he's going to see you through all the way into his very presence. And it's a wonderful thing to realize that knowing the one who is faithful to us is one who is consistent. And we know his attributes. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. We've had the opportunity living where we do, close to Los Angeles, to share the Lord with many Jewish people. And some of them you know. They happen to be radio talk show hosts on day-to-day programs. First letter of the name starts with the D. Last letter of the name starts with a P. And he's syndicated nationwide, and I've given them the gospel up one side and down the other. What's amazing right now, people, is what's going on in the world today. Talk about the key of David. What's going on in the world today is there's a lot of Jews coming to Christ right now ever since October 7th. Jesus Christ opens doors. Be looking for them because, listen, he's faithful. The one that we're trusting tonight is faithful. And he will not let you down. And it's not based on your feeling. Thank God, right, everybody? He's not going to be faithful to us when we feel like he's to be faithful. Can we all not give a message of our own to say God was faithful to me in that time of my life when I was not faithful? God brought me through. He wouldn't give up. That's because you belong to him. Don't raise your hand, but are you a backslidden Christian right now? If you're backslidden, we love you, God loves you, but we know how miserable you are. When a backslider backslides, because they belong to Jesus, they go back into the world, they're not happy. People are saying, isn't this great? And they're going, yeah, it's great. And you're like, what am I doing here? You're not walking with God, but you're not really walking in the world. You're messed up. You know why you're messed up? You can't even sin right anymore because you belong to Jesus. You belong to him. You're his child. Have you come to trust him as Lord and Savior? Then this letter that he's speaking, make sure tonight that you are a Philadelphian type of believer. Is the word of God authoritative in your life? Are you looking to God to open doors and close doors? You can live bold like that. You can live free like that and not worry. And he goes on. Look at verse 8. He says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut. For you have a little strength and you've kept my word and you've not denied my name. I wish we had more time for that one. You've not denied my name. It means you were not ashamed to identify with me in public. You didn't skulk away when somebody says, anybody a Christian in here? You know, it's like, why would we deny his name? Well, Peter would come up here right now and say, I'll tell you why. You know the word that Peter denied Jesus? Do you know what the word is? The word means in Greek, he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed to be connected to the Galilean gang where Jesus was the head. That's why he said, I tell you, I don't even know the guy. Never seen him before. And then finally he began to curse and swear that he didn't know him. Wow. Friends, listen. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, what you want to make sure that when you read in the Bible here that you have a little bit of power, this is such a sweet thing of saying the Holy Spirit is your power source. None of us are to have any power. But know this. If you're embarrassed of Jesus, you want to fix that really quick. Because it's a faith thing. You may be a believer and you may be going to heaven and that's awesome and fantastic. But listen, you want to bolster your faith because the days are coming when you want to be able to stand up on the hood of your truck and say, you guys need to come over here. We're Christians. The world needs to see you in these beacons of light, and you are that. He says in verse 9, indeed, I will make those, this is interesting, of the synagogue of Satan. Synagogue of Satan? Who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Isn't that a weird statement to make? The synagogue of Satan? This is weird. He just said that they claim to be Jews, but they're not. They claim to do everything as a Jew, even synagogue, but they don't belong to him. But they're not Jews. Isn't that interesting? Scholars will disagree as to what this means, but have any of you heard of replacement theology? Watch out. Israel is not Israel. The Jew is not the Jew. The church is Israel. The church is the Jew. We've replaced them, and so that's who we are. Friend, I would run out of that church, dust the dust off your feet, and never go back. I mean, first you should show the pastor this verse I'm giving you right now. Then you should run for the parking lot. Don't pretend. Listen, you may be Jewish in here. Most of us are probably Gentile. If you're not, say, I don't know, which one am I? If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Okay? If you're a Jew, you know you're a Jew. Gentile, that's the rest of us. The amazing thing about this is that, isn't it amazing? The reality that God lives within us by the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Isn't it awesome that the most persecuted people of all time throughout all of human history have been the Jews? Didn't Jesus Christ come to earth as a Jew? You think that's a coincidence? Think about the power of that. He says in the scripture, in the book of Deuteronomy, they have so rejected him and upset him. And then God says to them, look at you. Everything I tell you to do, you don't do. I tell you don't do this, and it's the first thing you go and do. and you don't listen. He says, you're the most stiff-necked people in all the world. This is God talking to the Jew. You know why he picked the Jews? Because they're stiff-necked. He said so. He says, I picked you not because you're fantastic and you can make the iPhone and iPad and you can make great technology and you're really smart and you'll get more Nobel Prizes than any other race or any people group. No, that's not why I picked you. He said, I picked you because you're stubborn. Do you know what that means to us? I got a little jingle. I made it up. Maybe I should patent it. If God can save a Jew, he can save a you. Right? He picked them because if you have Jewish friends, you can be arguing with them for an hour and then they'll tell you later. I agree the same way you do. I just wanted to argue with you to see. And it's like, oh boy. They're amazing. They're amazing. But God identified with them. But we are to identify with him. So we want to check our heart in that area. Also this, in the art of faithfulness, we want to think about resting in his power to rescue. I love this. Look at verse 10. Because you have kept, oh boy, this is awesome. Circle it, please. Because you have kept my command to persevere. Jesus says, persevere. Listen, we all need to hear this tonight. Don't give up. Don't quit. Right now is the time. A lot of that in the book of Days of Deception. That's one of the reasons why I wrote it. People were giving up. Notice how the word days is spelled, D-A-Z-E. That's not a misspell. That's intentional. People, like they got slapped across the face and people are walking around. You can see the Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, the stars are going around their head. Crazy, right? That's how people are walking around without Jesus. And I love what he's saying here to this. He's making it so clear. Persevere. You say, Pastor, I can't make it one more day. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Jesus Christ will never allow you to go through anything that you cannot endure with him. He'll take you through it. He's promised to do that. I had somebody tell me, Pastor Jack, I'm a Christian, but I can't take it. I'm going to kill myself. I said, you can't. Listen, stop. Are you a Christian? Yes. I said, well, you can't kill yourself then. Well, he goes, why not? And I said, you just said you're a Christian. He goes, I am a Christian. I said, then we don't have the authority to kill ourselves. You got to figure out something. You can stick a needle in your eye for the rest of your life. You can pinch yourself, bite your tongue. I don't care. But you can't kill yourself. You know that authority. Jesus owns you. And it was so cute because you see the light bulb come on. By the way, that guy went on. His wife left him because she should have. How's that? She's filing for divorce. And I told him, why don't you be the man of God now? And straighten up, follow Jesus. And if she keeps going through with it, just let her know that by the time this goes through, she's leaving the best man she's ever seen. You can turn that around right now, man. Persevere. My marriage stinks. Fix it. I can't stand my job. Most of us have a hard time. That's why it's called job. Have you noticed it's job and Job? I don't know. Just saying. But we need to rest in his power to rescue. He's faithful. And he says something that is so amazing. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, listen, which will come upon the whole world. For what reason? To test those who dwell on it. This is amazing. Something's coming to the entire world, and Jesus said it's going to be so bad. Oh, by the way, you won't be going through it. I'm going to keep you from it. Because why? Because it has to be my wrath poured out upon a world that has rejected me, and that's not you. He's asked you to persevere. That's what you and I are doing right now. And he's promised that there's a day in the end that the whole world's going to go through a horrible time, and he says, I'll keep you from it. I'm going to take him up on that. I'm waiting right now. Seriously. He says in verse 11, behold, I'm coming quickly. The word, oh, he said this 2,000 years ago. The word quickly doesn't mean soon. The word quickly means, here's the best way to remember what the word means. Imagine a stick of dynamite and imagine a fuse on the dynamite. When you light the fuse on that dynamite, it could be a short fuse, could be a long fuse. It doesn't matter. you run. Is that correct? The meaning of the word means that when the fuse is lit, it's going to happen so fast, it'll be lightning fast. It's not like, man, he's been 2,000 years and he says he's going to come soon, come quickly. No, when the thing gets sets off, everything will unfold very, very quick. So look at all the things that are going around in our world today. The setup of all the things that are happening, to me, is a great indicator. Nobody knows the day or the hour, friends, of Christ. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Oh, my friend knows. Your friend doesn't know. And then somebody writes a book. Jesus is coming back on this day. And then he blows it for all of us because Jesus won't come back on that day, because then that guy would be correct. So it can't be that day. Any day but that day. So don't write any stuff like that anymore. Just don't date anything. But he said, concerning the times and the seasons, we'll know. And then finally, watch this, and wrapping this up, it's this. He says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Notice this. And he will go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. That's the one in heaven, friends, not in Israel, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. When I end with this, Philadelphia was an area much like California, the Pacific Rim, prone to earthquakes. And you notice there that Jesus said, I'm going to take care of you. When you go out, I'm going to make you like a pillar in the temple of my God. When the earthquake, the famous earthquake that hit Philadelphia in the first century, it devastated, it leveled everything. People were killed all over the place. And the temples of the pagan gods, they came tumbling down. Many, many thousands of people were killed. The pillars gave out. If you've ever been to the Middle East or to Rome or to parts of Europe, massive pillars. These pillars gave out. The roof came in and crushed everybody. And when those pagans were being removed from the rubble, you were laid to rest, so to speak. You were gathered. They drug you over to your God. You say, what? Yeah, if you worshiped Athena, you know, the pagan deities required a tattoo. Didn't God tell the Jews in the book of Leviticus, no tattoo for you? There's going to be a day when I write my name on you. The pagan gods required their devotees to have a tattoo of the name of their deity. If you worshiped Zeus, you were stamped by Zeus. So when you were taken out of the rubble, dead, you were taken over in front of the temple of Zeus because they just returned you to your God. Does that make sense in a pagan culture? I get that. But Jesus said there, listen, I'll make sure that you can go in and out of the temple of my God. You're okay. You won't have to run. You won't have to panic. I'll take care of everything. Oh, and another thing. I'm going to write my name on you. She says, are you endorsing tattooing? No. No, I'm saying that God's going to tattoo you somehow. He's going to place his name on you. And we're going to be excited about it too. We're going to get in line. But until that day comes, you right now as a believer, the book of Ephesians says you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Did you know that? How do you know you're a Christian for sure, for certain? And you need to know for sure. Did you know? The Bible says these things have been written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. So I don't believe you can know until you're dead. Too late. You can't decide after you're dead. Besides, how could you be an evangelist to your friends if you don't know until after you're dead? Hey, you want to follow him? You want to become a Christian? What for? I'm not sure. We can share Christ with them because we are alive on the inside now. Only as a Christian does this thing make sense. And Paul said, the outward body's perishing, but the inward man's being renewed day by day. And when that time comes for either you and I to go up together or we go independently. As a believer, I like to look at it this way. We call it, when we're doing services at home, we call them graduation services. And I like to look at it this way. The reason why that person went home on that day is because the inside outgrew their outside. The inside outgrew the outside. They're growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus. They're learning more and more. They're starting to serve the Lord. They love God. They're just glowing on the inside. You ever been next to somebody, a believer that's dying? Let me tell you, as a pastor, there's a massive difference. And I find this fascinating, and then I got to go. I'm out of time. Is this, that believers have a tendency, and it's not a rule, but believers have a tendency when they're dying, they're not so dependent on the painkillers. It's interesting. When they come in, they say, do you want more morphine? It's okay, because they're talking to family. They're talking to family. Lisa's dad was at USC dying, talking to family. Your last few words, I promise you, will not be, son, daughter, take care of that portfolio, sell Disney stock fast. You're not going to talk like that. I've never seen anybody talk like that. People are dying saying, has my son arrived yet? Is my daughter here? Is my daughter here? My grandkids, are they coming yet? Are they here? When are they? It's amazing the stuff we see. The believer is like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. The unbeliever, it's horrific. It's so bad. The line, make them comfortable. Just drug them up. The body goes out. Friends, listen. To be absent from this body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine and rose again from the dead on the third day. We just went through the whole celebration of all that. I love it to this day. The calendar that you write with screams Jesus. You know, the earth is older than 2,400 years, you know, or whatever. What are we doing? Older than 2,024 years. The calendar screams Jesus. Don't look for religion, look for Jesus. Don't look for some membership to get some card-carrying approval. Get your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Turn to him and ask him, Lord, save me in Jesus' name. Amen.